God is powerful, as mighty as the sword. It pierces through the ages, proclaims a loving Lord. It speaks of one who sacrificed, that we might have eternal life. His call to us is just to lift him up. Lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lamb of Calvary. Lift up the cross, exalt the Son of God who died. Take up his cross and lift it high, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross. The message of the cross of Christ is one of peace and hope. The power of the cross is in the sinless blood that flowed. It, how can anyone believe the message they have not received? God calls again for us to lift him up. Lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lamb of Calvary. Lift up the cross, exalt the Son of God who died. Take up his cross and lift it high, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lamb of Calvary. Lift up the cross, exalt the Son of God who died. Take up his cross and lift it high, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross, till every eye has seen the Lord. Lift up the cross.
Thank you, Mark. Great job. Did you get a handout tonight? Does everybody have those? Okay, we're in the book of Proverbs again, and we'll be in there for a while. We're talking about the foolish man, and we've mentioned the key verses there: the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom is the principal thing, Proverbs 4:7. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We mentioned last time the key verse about a foolish man would be this one: the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. We've been looking at these principles. The old ones we've looked at are there. We will not read over them for sake of time, but because sometimes people who are not foolish in an area of their life may step out into foolishness in that specific area. And so I don't think you're a fool tonight, but sometimes people who aren't fools can do foolish things. And so we all need to be careful about that. So let's get started here. Let's look at number 13 tonight. And this is none of us here, so we'll probably go through this briefly, all right? The foolish man will waste all his money now and will suffer later. Now, I know none of us are like that. All of us have an abundance of money in the bank, but the Bible tells us we are supposed to do the best we can with our money. Look at Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. It says, there is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. In this verse, if we translate it into today's home, the wise man's house, if you go to a wise man's house, the electricity is not turned off, and he has some money set aside for his upcoming bills. But the foolish man is like, the bills are there, and it's like, I wonder if I have enough money to pay for it. That's how the foolish man lives. Now, all of us have had times in our life, and you might be going through a time like this now, where finances are tight. And sometimes finances have been so tight, it's like, it can be depressing. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I remember when we first started working, had my own business, and we quit. So we started working at the church, and our finances were real tight. We had a guy over at the old building. He was a financial consultant, and he kept saying, hey, let me come by, and I just want to look at your finances and see what we can do to help you. You know, he's talking about savings and health and life insurance, all this stuff, and I'm like, you don't want to come over. Let's not do that. And he kept bothering me about it. I said, look, back in those days, to be honest with you, the numbers did not add up. We did the best we could, and God met our needs, but it's like the numbers didn't add up. And he kept bugging me, like, come on. I'm like, all right, you can come over. My wife made dinner. He came over and sat down. I got all the financials out. I told him all my numbers. He told me all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing that I wasn't doing. He says, but I can work with your numbers. I'll get back with you. Can I just tell you something? He never did. He looked at the numbers, and he saw what I saw, and he probably thought, how in the world are these people making it? God was making up the difference, all right? But the point is this. We knew where our money was, and we did the best we could with it. We all live like that, but we need to do the best we can. The fool, on the other hand, does not think ahead and is always spending up everything they have without figuring out what is going to need to be paid later. That's not very wise. You know what I hate? And the girls in my house don't get this. I don't run my car on empty. I don't. Okay? Now, the ladies in my house, they do. My wife and I went somewhere just the other day. We got in the car, and it's like this gas gauge is pointing to my toes. Okay? Something is wrong. I remember one time all the cars were gone, and we have everybody in our house. It's like we got a million people that drive, and there was only one car left, and so I went and got in the black car. And I had to go somewhere, and it has one of those little things on there before Hannah totaled that car for me. But it had a little thing on there that said miles to empty, and it said zero. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's like five blocks to the gas station. Guess what happened two blocks later? He wasn't lying. Zero. It was empty. So I pulled my cell phone out, and I started calling to the girl, Jessica! So I tried to figure out who did it. Nobody would cop to it. I hate that. Okay? I just, when I start getting low, I'm going to fill it up so I don't run out of gas. It's just not going to happen. But that's how most people do their finances. You know what I'm saying? They're just like, I just run it down to the bottom. Now, some cases, we don't have a lot to say with it. But I'll be honest with you. A lot of it, we put ourselves in that spot. And we don't want to be like that. Most people in their finances are like that. Stewardship is not just about the tithe we give to God. It's also about the money we have left. Now, it starts with giving God his. But it's also about how are we using the resources? How are we doing with our finances? Not always living under financial pressure. By the way, that's not a good place to live. Okay? Now, again, there's times in our life when we totally had to live under it. And we just had to accept it, and we had to deal with it and do the best we could. That's life sometimes. By the way, if you're faithful to God and you do what God wants you to do, he'll take care of you. But if it's self-imposed, that's a problem. It should not be self-inflicted pain. Okay? You know, if someone stabs me with a knife or something and there's nothing I can do about it, but if I'm cutting an onion or something, I cut my own hand, I'm like, that was stupid. Yeah. I remember years ago, I was in the office, or I was a security guard. I was playing with the stapler. And, you know, I opened it up all the way, and I was pressing it like a gun, And I put it up against my finger, and I was seeing how come it wouldn't move. And I stapled a staple right into my finger. Straight in. I pulled it out, and I'm like, that was stupid. No one did that to me. I did that to myself. That's what we do with our finances sometimes. We have self-inflicted problems. Some people say, well, that's why I don't tithe. I can't afford it. The tithe is the first thing you give, so you have God's blessing to help you get through the rest of it. Okay? And I know it's a temptation. And I'm not sitting up here telling you to not doing something. In early days of our marriage, we didn't have enough money for any of our bills. But we always tithe first, because I realized if I tithe first, God would make sure everything else was taken care of. And by the way, and I'm not telling you to do this, the bottom of our list was groceries, because God had promised to take care of his children, and the righteous would not be begging bread. And there's times God just took care of us. Now, we didn't live like that forever, okay? But I'm just saying we need to make sure that we're doing what we can. Here's some, and I'll just throw these at you, and I know I've mentioned them before, and you don't like it, and I'll just throw it anyhow. You should have a budget. Okay? Not having a budget is like having a car without a gas gauge. I hope we have enough gas to get there. One of these times you're not going to be able to. Can I afford this? How do you know? Have a budget. And what you do is you figure out all your bills, you take your income, you put all your income away each month for all of your bills, and whatever's left over is yours. It's extra. Well, I want to buy this, and I'm not sure. Let me do the math in my head. No, the math in your head doesn't work. Okay? You ought to be, I can tell you, I could go home right now, and I could pull up my computer, and I could tell you exactly how much extra money we have outside of our budget. Okay? Why? I don't want to guess. If we need something, I want to be able to look and say, we don't have the money. Or to say, you know what? We have the money for that. I don't want to take that money like, oh, I forgot, I got to pay the electric bill. By the way, those shoes you bought, that's one thing, but the electric company, they want their money or you ain't getting electricity. And so have that. Borrowing or credit, which you cannot afford. That digs a deeper hole. Well, I'm short right now. I'll buy my groceries on a credit card, 20-something percent interest. Starve, take a couple days off from eating. It wouldn't kill us, okay? Take a couple days off from eating. Don't dig a deeper hole, okay? That's live by the principle, if you can't afford it, don't get it. And if you can't afford it, don't do it. In early days of the church, very early on, we had our own business. So in the very early days of the cell phone, now not the brick, in the 90s, I had that little, the little gray, it looked like a little boat if you set it upside down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It was like, we had one of those. We needed it for our business. Now, it had the battery life of about 30 minutes. That's how cell phones were in those days. So you had to have a pager. So you had to leave your phone off, and if someone wanted to get a hold of me when I'm on the road, they would page me, and then I would turn my phone on, and I would call them, and then you turn your phone off, and then you put your pager away. That's just what you had to do. Very early days, I had one. So we always had one. We were one of the early adopters. But when I started working at the church, as I mentioned before, we couldn't afford it, so we got rid of all that stuff. Just got rid of it. Why? Couldn't afford it, so let's not have it. You have to be like that sometimes. You have to distinguish between a necessity and a desire. And if you can't afford it, don't do it. If you're tight, try to find ways to cut back. Well, I go out and I eat lunch every day. I go buy lunch every day. Well, if you can't afford it, there's a good way to cut back. But you have to just be very creative. A foolish man is not like that. And whenever it gets down to the end, they're always, oh man, we're short here and I got to borrow there and do this and that. Whereas the wise man, they have their needs met because they do the best with what God has provided for them. And this isn't in here, but I'll throw it. But when it comes to the building, a lot of people have desire and want to give. And sometimes we can't give simply because we're not good with our finances. If you would look at where you're spending your money, it might open your eyes to where you can save, and you're not always living under financial pressure. And so be careful. I mean, we have a Costco card and we have a Sam's Club card. I only fill up gas in my car at Costco or Sam's Club. If I drive by there and I need gas, I'm going to go in there and get it. And my wife, we were going to Costco. That's where we were going. And the car was pointing at my feet. And she's like, my wife's the eternal optimist. Like, oh, we'll get there. No problem. There's enough gas. I'm like, no, there isn't. You know, so I had to stop at Shell and get $10 worth of gas. It's like a gallon and a half. Because we were going to Costco. Now, when I went to Costco, I filled the car up because Costco was 40 cents a gallon less. And man, when you have a Suburban, that's enough to buy a cup of coffee, okay? I mean, it is what it is. So let's just work on that. There are two great mistakes we make with our money, and we'll move on. The first thing we do is we keeping all we can. That's called hoarding. Keeping all we can. In other words, we want to be good with our money. By the way, I try to have a balance. You know, whenever they spend stuff at our house, hey, I want a receipt. Why did we buy that? Did we need it? Is that the best deal we could get? But I don't do that, so we just hoard the money. We like to be givers, okay? And you say those two don't go together. I know, but we got to kind of work at that. Because sometimes we want to save so much, we're just hanging on to it, and it's like, hey, we're having a special offer. Got to hang on to it. Well, why? That's why you're a good steward. Okay, that didn't go over very well. Next is spending all we have, that's foolish. Okay? The wise man sees the future. Next, number 14. The foolish man will have trouble telling the truth. The foolish man will have trouble telling the truth. Proverbs 14:18-8 says, the wisdom as the prudent is to understand his way. He understands what's going on. But the folly of fools is what? Deceit, lying, not being truthful. The prudent understand what their actions, what they do, has a foreseeable end, and it can cause trouble. The fool is not like that. Someone that says if you lie, you better have a tremendous memory. Because you got to remember the lie so that you don't get caught in the lie, right? That's why, you know, these people, when there's a crime and they interview people, they interview them several times, and they'll ask the same question over and over. You know why? Because they know if you're telling a lie and they ask it enough, you're going to slip up and let it out. But you know something? If you tell the truth, it's not that hard. Because you don't have to remember what you said over there because you're just telling the truth. So you remember what the truth is. It's not a matter of results. It's a matter of character. Look at these verses in Psalm. Psalm chapter 15 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he's giving some characteristics of this type of person. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue and doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whom eyes a vile person is contemned, someone that's evil. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Listen to what he says. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, he said something, he made a promise with his mouth about something, and even if what he said is going to cause him loss, because he said it and he has character, he's going to follow through on it. Almost like a vow. See, we don't have that kind of character anymore in our society. People just, there's no integrity anymore. By the way, especially in the business world, the work world, it's all about results. Doesn't matter if you're truthful. It doesn't matter if you're deceitful. I have a hard time with that. I have a real hard time with that. I shouldn't say it because you might have one here. I have a hard time with car salesmen. Are you with me? And I've bought cars. A few years ago, we bought a car, and it was very specific. My wife was a certain color and a certain deal, and we looked all over the place, and we were bartering back and forth, and we went to a place, and I talked to the guy. He said, I got this exact car you want. He goes, it's in Bakersfield. He says, I can have it transported here. So I'm like, okay. And so we got the older model, so it was cheaper. And he's like, so we bartered. Okay, we came to an agreement. Fine. He goes, all right, I'll have them bring it here tomorrow. Okay. So I called him in the morning just to make sure. Say, hey, we'll come in. We'll finish the deal up. And he goes, yeah, it's on its way. It'll be here. Be here about 11:30. So, all right, we're coming. So I got there. And, here's the paperwork. Let's turn the paperwork. I'm like, all right, hey, you know, how's it going? He goes, yeah, it should be here in about 30 minutes. I'm like, okay. And then, like 10 minutes later, he comes in. He goes, hey, let me show you something else. And he's like, I'm like, what? He showed me another car. What about this? I said, that's not what we want. I said, we'll wait for the other one. And then, like, the truth came out. There wasn't another one. He was just lying because he thought he could sell me the other one. I'm like, are you serious? I just don't like people that don't have integrity. Are you? I mean, I love them in Jesus, and I hope they get saved, okay? But it's like, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't buy a car from you if you gave me a car at half its value. I just don't trust you. I'm out of here. But see, that's what that's what our world is now. It has nothing to do with your character and who you are. It's about, can you get a result? I would rather lose and have character than not, than win unrighteously. When we promise something and then decide not to fulfill, and be honest with you, it's kind of like a form of lying. We need to learn to be truthful. Okay? If you did something, someone asked you about it, did you do this? What do you say? Yes, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. That was my fault. I heard an unbelievable story years ago. And this guy, we'd met him in the early days when we were a Cambodian church. He actually, for a while, was the pastor of the Cambodian church at Grace Brethren over here. And somehow we met him because we were Cambodian Baptist church at the time. And he had his story about how he escaped the killing fields in Cambodia on Unshackled. And I listened to it. And in the story, you know, if you don't understand the thing, there were certain people that they were killing in Cambodia, the educated Christian workers. And this guy worked for a Christian organization. He was on the hit list. And he was trying to sneak through to get to the refugee camp. And a soldier started talking to him. And he asked him some point-blank questions about who he worked for and what he was doing. And this guy, with his life on the line, told him the truth. He goes, I work for this organization. It was a Christian organization. He goes, I'm this and I'm that. And this guy, the soldier, he shook his head and looked and said, what are you doing? He goes, do you understand I'm supposed to kill you if I know that? He goes, why are you telling me that? And the guy goes, I'm a Christian. I have to. And the soldier was so frustrated, he said, get out of here. Go. Now, I don't know if I'd have done that, okay? This isn't morality 102. I don't know if I'd have done that. Okay, I might have looked at the gun and said, Lord, forgive me. Okay? But this guy had that much character to put his life on his line to tell the truth. And you mess up at work and you lie to your boss. Just tell your boss, I blew it. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Most bosses will like that, actually. The foolish has no discernment about the results of lying. Telling the truth is not an issue. You know the little statement people use? If you ain't lying, you ain't trying. Okay? That sounds good, but it's horrible for our character. Lying destroys character and trust. And really, you think about it. That's the opposite of everything that God is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The truth. Years ago, in the early days of the church, we had a lot of, pastor talked about how he had all these gang guys living in his house. And over the years, back when our children were little, we had some at-risk kids, and we let them live with us for a while. And some of them had some issues, you know. It's like, all right, you know, we tried to help them, and we'd have them in our house. And I had one rule, for sure. I mean, there was many others, but one thing I just told them I would not put up with. If you lie, you're done. You are not going to lie to me. We had one person in there, and it was a couple staying with us for a short time, and I found out they had done something, so I pulled one in. And, of course, you know, you always pull the one in that confesses first. That works really well. So what happened here? Yep, we did it. Okay, thanks for being honest. You can go. Pulled the other one in. Hey, what happened here? Well, so-and-so told me. They looked at me. I said, you're a liar. I probably shouldn't have said, you disgust me. I said, I've been over backwards for you. I can't. They started crying and all that nonsense. But it's like I can't have that. Lying is just, it's bad. Now, all kids do it, okay? And you got to teach your kids. Just tell the truth and take the result of what you did. Okay? By the way, when you confess to something, usually it's not that bad for you, you know, than it is to lie. And if you like to lie, let me just throw this verse at you and we'll give you one more point. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. Not you, I'm reading the verse. and the lust of your father, which means desires, you will do. Listen to this. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, let me just say this. I don't want to be like Satan. Okay? I don't. He's a liar. Everything he says is not true. He uses deceit to trip people up. Number 15. The foolish man deceitfully gossips and lies about others. This foolish man deceitfully gossips and lies about others. Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, I think you have this in your paper there. There are two things that he does according to this verse. The first thing is, to their face, he says lies to hide his true feelings. Okay? To people, he tries to hide his true feelings, this person who he hates, and who he doesn't get along with, but I mean someone that he has something against and he's going to criticize later. He's going to try to hurt. What he tells them is a lie. He's trying to hide their contempt for them. By the way, wise men cherish godly relationships, and a Christian should not have hate in their heart for anybody. Why? Well, how come? I'm frustrated with somebody. Duh. I get frustrated with people. Not you, of course. You guys are great. It's other people I've met. You get frustrated with people. Can I tell you something? Sometimes people rub you the wrong way. Sometimes, believe this or not, Chris, I rub people the wrong way. Yeah, typically my wife. But she gets over it. But what happens in that instance, what do? You get the relationship right. It's not a big deal. We're human. We're flawed. Things like that happen, and you just deal with it, and everybody's happy, and you move on. But if you don't, that hatred comes in. And then you start saying things behind their back to other people, but to their face, like, nah, we're good. We're good. That's the second point. Behind their back, you say lies about them to prove your true feelings. And let me say this, even if it's not a lie, gossip is gossip, even if it's true. Yeah. Not everybody needs to know everything. What do they call it? Need-to-know basis? Okay, look, I don't want you knowing everything everything in the world about me. None of your business. And I don't want to know everything in the world about you. Okay, but sometimes things happen, and it's just, hey, it's between these people, let them work it out. And let not other people know about it and get involved, because that complicates things. Relationships would be better if we did that. Look at Proverbs 15:12. We have like 2 minutes left. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go to a wise. When you're being critical about somebody, you're really, in essence, becoming a scorner. And the Bible says two things about a scorner. They don't love those that reprove them. Like, hey, why are you talking about people? They don't like that. But also, this is a rebuke to all of us. Neither will he go unto the wise. If someone comes to you and is critical and scornful about somebody else, you know what they're saying? They don't think you're wise. They don't have respect for you. Now think about that. Well, that's a them problem. It also tells you what they think about you. You know, it's funny. They'll come to you and talk about somebody else to you, and when you're gone, they'll talk to that person about you. It's not limited. Let's just stay away from all that nonsense. I heard this quote one time. It's good. Flattery is something that you would say to a person's face that you would never say behind their back. Because you're saying something nice to them you don't believe. And gossip is what you would say behind their back that you would never say to their face because you don't want them to know that you're criticizing them. The fool is very loose in how they talk about people. And they're very deceitful in what they say. I have found that you cannot believe everything everybody says. Whenever there's a conflict between people and they want to go to other people to get them involved, whenever they explain their side of the story, it's amazing how they're the saint. You ever know that? Oh, I'm just, and if you were to go talk to the other person and give them an opportunity to present their side, guess what? They'd be the saint. If someone comes to you and wants to start talking about somebody and say, you know, this is really hard, this person say, you know what we should do? Why don't we call that person? And why don't we get together and see if we can hash this out? Yeah. That'll shut them up quickly. And by the way, they'll never come back to you again. Don't believe everything you hear. I've heard people criticize all, and they'll start to, and it's like, not true. I know it. Your emotions are involved. You're not handling it right. And what happens is they're sowing discord among the brethren. And listen, people backbite. They'll say things about me. They'll say things about this. And it's the sad thing is the person that's being talked about can't defend themselves. You don't know the whole story. And if the person criticizing would just go to that person they have an issue with and work it out, 99 times out of 100, it's over. Yeah. It's over. But getting more people involved. But a fool, that's just how they are. Let's not act and get into that area. Let's pray.